Coming up in this episode.
First of all, I would 100% read a book about Buc-ee's. But I want to hear you tell me why we should be reading a book about Stuc-ee's as a brand.
She would read the billboards. And that's how she learned to read. And I was like, oh, wait, so was your first word exit now?
This book is about change. It's an inspiring story, lessons about life, lessons about business.
This podcast from Georgia Public Broadcasting highlights books with Georgia connections, hosted by two of your favorite public radio book nerds who also happen to be your hosts of All Things Considered on GPB Radio. I'm Peter Biello.
And I'm Orlando Montoya. Thanks for joining us as we introduce you to authors, their writings, and the insights behind their stories, mixed with our own thoughts and ideas on just what gives these works the narrative edge. So, Peter, let's start with a mystery bag. I have a mystery bag in front of you right
here.
Yep,
this mystery bag, a little black bag.
Yeah, go ahead and look inside of it.
All right, so here's the bag. And in this bag is, looks like a granola bar, Stuc-ee's. It's the original pecan log roll.
Does this mean anything to you, Stuc-ee's?
It does not.
This is a Stuc-ee's pecan log roll. Don't eat it yet. Okay. You can eat it.
I need to be told.
Okay. You can eat it during one of the breaks. So anyways, this is an authentic taste of the South, Peter.
Okay.
Stuc-ee's. It's kind of a Southern thing. Stuc-ee's was kind of like Buc-ee's before Buc-ee's. It was one of those roadside stores that you would see on the highway, and you would go in there and get candy.
So this is a big chain now, Stuc-ee's.
Not a big chain anymore. This was a big chain back in the mid-20th century. They had hundreds of stores across the U.S.
Okay.
And everybody would see their signs on the highway. It said, exit now.
Exit now for Stuc-ee's.
Exit now for Stuc-ee's, or I need to stop at Stuc-ee's to get my nuts. Okay.
I do not think we had this in Massachusetts.
No. It's more of a Southern thing. So Stuc-ee's was founded in 1937 in Eastman, Georgia, and they grew to more than 300 stores across the country. They were known for a few things. They were known for their blue roof. They were known for their kitschy souvenirs. They were known for their live birds in the store.
Okay.
And, of course, their sweet, sweet candy. And we're going to go through the company's storied history, its wild ups and downs, and its promising comeback with Stephanie Stuc-ee, the author of Unstuck, Rebirth of an American Icon.
Throughout my life, people would say, oh my gosh, Stuc-ee, are you related to those stores on the side of the road? And what was incredible about that is they wouldn't just say, are you related to that business? They always had a story. And a story is the way we connect with each other as humans. That's an emotional bond. And they would say something incredibly personal. Like one person told me they learned to read because they were the youngest of like 10 kids. And so you fend for yourself when you're the youngest in a big family. And she said she would read the billboards. And that's how she learned to read. And I was like, oh, wait, so was your first word exit now?
So Stephanie Stuc-ee is the granddaughter of the original Stuc-ee's founder, Sylvester Stuc-ee Sr.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Now, I've kept you waiting long enough.
On the candy bar.
On the
try
candy
it now?
Bar. You want to try the candy bar?
Yes, I do. Okay. All right. I've got it open. It is not sticky. I'm touching it and it's not sticky. I suppose under a hot day, it might be sticky. All right. We'll try it. Oh, man, what is that inside there?
It's a marshmallowy nougat interior.
Oh, man, this is a lot softer than I thought it would be.
And how would you describe it? Sweet?
Yes. Yep. It's got nuts on the outside, the nougat on the inside. I dig it.
It's got a nice mix of textures, I think.
I like it. It's a good stocking stuffer, right? Okay, so why are we talking about a book about Stuc-ee's as opposed to, say, Buc-ee's or a Wawa? First of all, I would 100% read a book about Buc-ee's. But I want to hear you tell me why we should be reading a book about Stuc-ee's as a brand. And I hope that it's not simply just a long advertisement for Stuc-ee's as a store.
No, what I want to do with this podcast is, you know, try to convince you this is not like a PR book.
Good.
The reason we're doing this book is because, you know, I had seen this book come out maybe like a year ago, And I saw it there and I said, no, it's just it's going to be a PR thing for the company. But then I saw that Stephanie Stuckey was speaking at the Carter Center about this book. And I said, you know, the Carter Center isn't going to have just like a presentation just about a corporate entity. And I did a little research and I found out that Stephanie Stuckey actually is a motivational speaker. She does like TED Talks on leadership. And this book is about change. It's an inspiring story, lessons about life, lessons about business. And to understand all of that, you have to go back to what happened to Stuckey's back in the 70s and 80s. As I mentioned, they got very big in the mid-20th century. But after decades of family ownership, in the 70s and 80s, they were sold and resold to different corporate owners. And so they withered. They withered, this company. They were faced with fast food restaurant competition, other gas station brands. And quite honestly, the stores became kind of ragged.
Ragged?
Ragged.
Like just falling apart.
Dirty, you know, no investment. The candy making was outsourced. Quality declined. The family had no control over their business. And so when this story begins 5 years ago, this storied brand had something like 16 stores. They'd gone from hundreds to 16. And I believe there's 20 now on their website.
And so did Stephanie Stuckey essentially reacquire the brand?
Yes. The story begins when Stuckey is approached to buy her old family business. And she said yes.
I went on a road trip. We're a road tripping brand. And I thought, well, I'm going to go tour my pecan log roll empire and visit what's left of the stores. And what I found, unfortunately, were quite a few stores that had seen better days. Now, there's some out there that look amazing. But I went to a store, it was falling apart, and I just thought, this is not good. And we were continuing to get further in debt. And I went in the store, and I saw people were still buying product. And that was kind of my, oh my gosh, that's the aha, we can make product. And I pulled together the financing. I got some business partners and we got an SBA loan and we bought a manufacturing facility.
So the story becomes, how do we turn this brand around? And she buys a manufacturing facility to make candy. So they're making candy again. She partners with Georgia pecan growers. And her idea is focus on what she calls the product, which is the candy. It's the nuts. It's all of the sweet stuff that goes with that, the holiday tins and everything like that. And so when you go to their website now, it's mostly about candy products, but especially that pecan log roll.
I can see why. I bet it's a big seller. So does she want to open more stores?
You know, she can't control the stores very much. So short answer, no. These stores are independently owned stores run by other people, either at the store level or through other corporations. And there's not much profit there, you know. She can't put millions of dollars into renovating stores all around the country. So there's no going back to Stuckey's of the 50s and 60s.
Now, I feel like I missed a piece of Georgia-specific Americana by missing the stores.
I grew up in Florida, so we had a few there.
Okay.
I do remember Stuckey's in Florida. But this is the one thing I loved about this book. You know, how many times have you had to face, you know, a hard fact, a change in your identity? I am not this thing anymore. I am now that.
Yeah, it's a rough thing to do. And it seems like Stephanie Stuckey had to sort of recognize where her family's business was and sort of accept it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. She takes over. She discovers the books are in shambles. She has like three employees. I'm possibly exaggerating there. I can't remember the details, but she has very few employees, very few control over the stores. And what she bought was a brand. And she goes on this road trip and discovers the profit is in the candy.
Where does she get this instinct to sort of change in order to grow?
It's her grandfather, the man who started Stuckey's back in Eastman, Georgia in 1937, Sylvester Stuckey. She researched the history of the company when she bought the company, and she discovered a lot of things about her family, about her father, her grandfather.
What I like to say is I respect the past, but I don't live in it. But when you have a legacy brand, your roots, it's always part of what you do. I think one of the most important lessons I learned was how you have to embrace change and accept when things are different and your business model isn't working anymore. The best example of that for him was when the Interstate Highway came along. Stuckey started on Route 66, the Dixie Highway, the Jefferson Highway, the Lincoln Highway, and the interstate came along, and he had to make a really difficult decision to move his stores to the interstate. So when I was trying to figure out how am I going to revive the brand, I realized I had to change our business model, or we weren't going to survive.
So what do you learn in this book about her grandfather?
A lot. I learned that the family name is big in Georgia. I did not know this. The grandfather, Sylvester Sr., served in the General Assembly. Her father, Sylvester Jr., was a U.S. congressman for 10 years. She grew up partly in Washington, D.C., and she herself represented DeKalb County in the State House for 10 years. She comes from a background as an attorney. She comes from a background in sustainability management. But what I think is the most juicy bits about the family is the dynamics of a large, storied Southern family.
Huh.
You know, like, I'm not going to call this like Dallas or Dynasty, but there is stuff in here that she did not have to write if it were going to be strictly a PR sell Stuckey's book.
Okay, stuff like what?
Well, maybe start with pressure on males, especially firstborn males in dynastic wealthy families. So like I said, her father actually bought the company back in 1985. So Stephanie is not the first Stuckey to try to buy this company back and revive it. Her father bought the company back in 1985, and he retired in 2014. And so that was kind of like her father wanting to be like his father, right? Mm-hmm. So trying to carry on the family business. The pressure on males, especially firstborn males in those dynastic wealthy families, is something I found very interesting. But the father sold the company. The company went down to a skeleton, and his investors, the father's investors, wanted the male children of Sylvester Jr., if you're following along here.
Mm-hmm.
The investors wanted the male children of Sylvester Jr. To buy the company back. And so the investors went around and asked the male children, like, do you want this company? And they all said, no, we don't want anything to do with this tanking business. And so she, not being male, not being from a business background, she was not expected to come over and take over this business at all. So that's something that I found very interesting, the whole male-female dynastic aspect of it. And then there's the relationship with her father.
Was it a strained relationship?
I didn't get the sense that it was a strained relationship. What I got was the father was not happy when he learned that his daughter, Stephanie, was going to take over the business. Remember, he's out. The investors are making the decisions, and so he's not happy at all. And you know, and that has to hurt.
He sat me down and he said, "You've never even run a lemonade stand. What makes you think you can run Stuckey's?" Said with love, but I think anyone who's had to navigate complicated family dynamics in a business setting can relate to that situation. Honestly, he was right. I didn't even know how to read a balance statement. I didn't know that parentheses around a figure meant that you were in the red. You know, I mean, it was just embarrassing how little I knew. So he was right. But I think sometimes people telling you you can't do stuff makes you want to do it even more. People saying, well, you're the last pick, you got a bit of a chip on your shoulder and use that.
And I can assure you, the Montoya family carries no weight. I am not heir to anything. Dynasties, I don't understand. But I do understand when people don't expect or don't want you to do something, and you do it anyway because you believe in it.
Mm. So what does she believe in specifically?
She believes in the brand, the brand Stuckey's. And this is what I learned, that brands can be bigger than the actual product. It can be bigger than the inventory, the stores, the real estate. A brand is an idea, and it's something intangible that you can't hold. But if you have a good one, it can be valuable. And so what is this brand, Stuckey's? It is road tripping. It is cars. It is vacation. It's windows down.
It's family time, it sounds like.
It's family time. It's that logo that Stuckey's logo. It's the anticipation of stopping for peanuts and candy and those pecan log rolls and divinity. Do you know what divinity is?
In the abstract, yeah, I have no idea what it has to do with these pecan logs.
It's a type of candy.
Oh.
It's a type of candy. You know, the chocolate, the holiday tins, all of it. So that's what she believes in, and I think that's what the book is about.
So what gives this book the narrative edge?
Like I said, it's like a TED Talk, man. It's like inspirational. It's got these unexpected family details. Whether or not she intended it as a book to help sell the brand, I don't know, but it doesn't come across as a corporate book, right? It talks about embracing change, letting go of the past, confronting hard truths, and how to succeed in business the Stuckey's way. By the way, they're all Georgia-made, Georgia products from Georgia pecans, so should mention that as well. And I asked her about Hurricane Helene.
Right, because we lost a lot of pecan trees here in Georgia.
Yes, and she says that they had a rough time. The pecan farmers are having a rough time. So support the farmers, support Georgia agriculture now after Hurricane Helene.
So are there still Stuckey's locations in Georgia?
I mean, I went on the website, and the nearest Stuckey's location in Georgia is like way south Georgia along I-75.
Oh, okay.
So there's not one in this area. But there's like 20 of them across the country, or a number around about there. And they're also going into like partnered locations. So maybe they have a location within another store that's kind of like a Stuckey's area.
A combination KFC, Taco Bell, Stuckey's.
Yes. So, but you can get them online. I think that's where they're going.
Cool. Well, the book is Unstuck, Rebirth of an American Icon by Stephanie Stuckey. Orlando, thanks for sharing that, and thanks for giving me one of these pecan logs. I've been staring at the remaining 80% of it for the duration of this conversation. I'm going to dig in now.
All right, you can eat it now. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Narrative Edge. We'll be back in 2 weeks with a brand new episode. This podcast is a production of Georgia Public Broadcasting. Find us online at gpb.org/narrativeedge.
You can also catch us on the daily GPB News podcast, Georgia Today, for a concise update on the latest news in Georgia. For more on that and all of our podcasts, go to gpb.org/podcasts.